another day that you've given us. Be with everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, grab some, grab your Bibles, and I want to hear those pages turning. We're going to call those angel wings, okay? The angel wings flapping. But help me with these verses. You guys just look them up ahead of time. So when we go through. Now, let me say something about the study of God and doctrine in particular. If what you hold in your hand is the Word of God, okay, God's words are for us to use. And I'm gonna say something about that in this lesson, and I I'm not jumping on anybody or anything, but I'm saying if we believe this is the Word of God, okay, we ought to use the words of God.
Amen.
And we shouldn't have to label and relabel and relabel and explain. All right? If I say to you, God, as a Christian, you should know who I'm talking about.
Amen.
And you say, well, if you ask, if I say to you, God, and you say, which one, then there's a problem. Because God said to Moses, tell them, I am that I am, sent me. Okay, and so I want us to understand that. I'm going to say some things as we go through here, and I want you to understand, I'm not trying to start a new tradition. I'm just trying to be right in what I use, because the world needs to hear it straight. They don't need to hear our translation of it.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so it's like one of these guys on These guys on Recovering Fundamentalists were on the thing, and they said something, and they said, well, you know, Pastor Creed, you know that the word Trinity is not in the Bible. And I said, neither skinny jeans. So he didn't want to talk to me anymore. That's a thing we have going with these guys. But anyhow, men.
Berman look.
Yeah. They enjoy going back and forth with me because I tease with them and everything, but there's some things some solid things that they say, but anyhow, that's another class. But no, let's notice God. We're looking at God part two today, and we're just scratching the surface. We're not even getting where you can mine out, you can dig down and ferret out more to know about God, and you should do that in your personal study and your personal life and your relationship with Him as you walk with Him and you talk with Him, right? How many gods are there? Well, there's one God. There's only one God. Deuteronomy 6:4. Somebody have that?
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Amen. He's one. He's one. Now that's the base. That's the thing you settle in your heart. He's one God.
Amen.
There's no explanation. There's no parenthetical statement. All right? Mm-hmm. There's no hidden meaning. Mm-hmm. He's one God.
That's right.
That's important. And that's important you keep that in your heart and your mind, okay? Isaiah 45:5.
I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girdeth thee, though thou hast not known me.
Okay, there's none else, right?
That's right.
Now, First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
Okay. So now we get one God, and then we mention Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're getting it. We're moving one God, and so the question begs. How one God, but there's Jesus Christ too? Okay, so we explain that.
Mm-hmm.
How do we explain that? The Bible explains it.
That's right.
The Bible defines itself. It's amazing what a great commentary the Bible is on itself.
Mm-hmm. Amen, that's true.
Okay, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19.
Go ye therefore... Oh, I'm in Mark, my fault. Oh yeah, that's right. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
All right. Now we see, now there's three. Okay, now we gotta figure this out. We gotta get to the end of this. Okay, 1 John 5:7.
Where there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one.
Okay, there's the explanation. These three are one. So where one goes, finish the statement. Where one goes,
all go.
All of them go. Okay. Now, here's what we tend to do. We tend to dissect and break down in order to explain things. You can't do that.
Right.
Yes.
The thing that jumped back in my mind. That's why I like when you read the Bible. When someone says something, the word of God is come right back in your mind. When he said one go, all go, and right away my thoughts go to when the Lord went down to confound the language and taught them to say, let's go down and see.
Right.
Yeah. One go, all go.
Yes.
Said, let's go down and see.
Yeah. You can't, there's no separation. And that's like, you've got people
yeah.
that have, you've got denominations
yes, sir.
that are, they're predicated on just the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or you got the four square. You got all kinds of different people. And where it starts, and you know, listen, I believe there's people saved in every building church. Well, I believe they're saved Catholics. They just need to come to the truth. They need to figure it out.
Yeah.
I believe some people have really trusted Christ as personal Savior. And number one, it's not for me to say. But number two, it's believing and calling. That's it. Okay? So that's as simple as it gets. But when we start separating or focusing on one part, personality, we get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that's very important. There's one God, this is one God equally, or eternally equally, essentially exists as three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, this is known as the doctrine of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, there's a word that's not a Bible word. It's descriptive. So you could really say the doctrine of God and be correct.
Amen.
You know, I meet all these guys. We'll get to the doctrine of the church. We already went through the doctrine of church, didn't we? But I get to people and they say, church. And they say, what are you talking about, church? I'm talking about the church in the Bible. You mean the universal church? I said, no, that's not in the Bible. They said, well, right. Yeah, it is.
Where?
You know, show me.
A lot of Reformed churches preach that. Is that correct?
A lot of independents believe it too. We independent Baptists are probably the most ignorant denomination in the world. I'm serious. We're ignorant. I mean, we ignoramuses standing up in pulpits today. And it's, you know, it's not, you don't, I'm not set, I don't sit there and I don't twist the words. I can't be comfortable twisting the words of the Bible. I don't twist it. And you ask Arnold, I don't take it any steps further than what it says to try to make it logical. I don't need to do that.
Right.
Okay. And so it's important that we understand that. So one God, three persons. Now, the Bible teaches there's one God who exists co-essentially, co-eternally, co-equally as three persons, while as finite beings, we can never fully comprehend the truth. And that's the truth. We cannot comprehend it.
Nope.
So what do you put with doctrine to understand it? What is the most important thing to put with doctrine to understand doctrine? Faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No matter what we do, without faith it is impossible to please him. Without faith it is impossible to understand. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
Amen.
That's in Hebrews. So through faith. Now, it's not misdirected faith. We put our faith in God. That unlocks the real faith. I mean, how many things in your Christian life do you walk each day not questioning? But if you shared that with the world, they'd say, "What? What is that? That's being built up in the most holy faith.
Right.
That's being solid.
Right.
Okay. And so that we have to increase that every day. You know, when you go to remodel a building and that building has been there for years and you have to cut the concrete, you don't just cut it. You better plan on spending some money, because I don't know, as soon as you put water to concrete, there's a chemical reaction and it starts curing, okay, and the process of curing continues. I don't know how it does, but it continues and continues and continues. And the older that concrete gets, and then back then when they used to put concrete down, they put rebar in there that was bigger than your hand. I mean, and we had to cut through to get through a floor up there at the Coast Guard, 14 inches of concrete. Who does 14 inch deck anymore? Nobody.
They built stuff back in
but it's cured hard. It cures hard. And the longer it goes, the harder it gets.
Yeah.
Now, I want to apply that to our Christian life as far as being doctrinally correct. We should be strengthened as time goes on. And a lot of people are crumbling. A lot of people say, "I used to believe that," or "That's and if you don't continue to build yourself on that. You know, and that's not our lesson, but it just came.
Yeah, I find that a lot. I see that a lot.
Now, we explained somewhat in the illustration of a glass of iced water, and I don't want to use that illustration, iced water. I mean, I don't like the egg and the egg yolk and the white and all that stuff. It's just explain. Yeah.
Basically, that statement you made where some people say, "I don't believe that stuff anymore."
I don't believe what?
Earlier, when there's some Christians that say, "Oh, I used to believe that," right? Right. Those people are saved, right?
I don't know. I hope so.
It makes you wonder.
Yeah. In other words, I catch myself because I say, you know, something happens, somebody does something, and we look at Lot, he vexed his righteous soul, and only God knows who's saved and who's not.
Right.
But people get sideways. It's easy to get sideways. You have to guard your heart all the time to not let people offend you. You need to not let people get you off track.
Right. Amen.
If I let one of you get me off track of what God wants for me, I'm weak. Doesn't mean I'm Teflon, and doesn't mean I don't hurt and my emotions aren't there, but I can't let something get me off track.
Right.
I want to stay on God's perfect will. And I do that for several reasons. I'm a pastor, number two. I'm a dad, and number three, I'm a granddad. Number four, I'm a friend, and I need to be a constant.
Amen.
And so it's important. It's important. So yeah, some people don't believe. Some people start reading books other than the book.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So what is God? There are four statements. Number one, John 5:24 says God is a spirit. That's his divine essence. Okay? So is it God is the Holy Spirit? No, God is a spirit. What's John 4:24 say? Anybody got that?
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's talking to the woman at the well there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a, and he gives a, that's one of the most landmark statements in the Bible for us as Christians mm-hmm. to worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. Okay? God is love. That's his divine compassion. 1 John 4:8.
He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
That's real deep, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So I need to be loving. Amen?
Amen.
God is light. 1 John 5.
Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Amen. You know what darkness is?
Sin.
It's the absence of light. Right? Yes, yeah. Yeah, sin too. God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29. Horatio, you got that?
For our God is a consuming fire.
He is a consuming fire. It's talking about his holiness. His holiness. You remember in Isaiah chapter 6, and it says, holy, holy, holy. He's a consuming fire. Now, what is God? There's four statements. He's spirit, he's love, he's light, he's consuming fire. The Bible also teaches that God is what?
The spirit.
He's a person. That means he has personality. Okay? For instance, John 3:16, God what? He loves. God loves. In Proverbs chapter 6:16, God hates. Well, you have to understand. You have to understand the Bible. What he hates.
Right.
We had this football league several years ago. You know, they have these football leagues that play in the summer, and there's one guy on the back of his football jersey said, "He hate me." Did you ever look that guy up? And then they drafted him in NFL. He didn't put that on his jersey anymore. But I'm sitting there one day. I said, "I think I'll watch this." And it says, "He hate me" on the back of his jersey. I said, wonder where he got that. You know, I began to think, why would he say that? You know, but that was his identity. He hate me. You can't hate the sinner. And that's challenged when you come across a child molester or a rapist. Or killer.
Or someone that
has intent
to bodily harm you.
Yes. Yeah, the Prasad family that I'm constantly calling and dealing with all the time.
Mm.
That the trial's coming up.
Right.
And you know, the hate they have for that guy that killed.
Right.
And just let me just tell you something. If somebody messed with my family, it would cross my mind about taking them out.
He probably won't even go to trial.
He'll
probably plead all that out.
I don't know, but for us, that's a big challenge for us.
Yes.
To not let him, because if you let hate for something like that get into your life, it affects everything.
Everything.
You understand what I'm saying? It affects everything. It's like an infection. And so how do we deal with that? We got to have God. We got to have God help us.
Amen.
And we can't ignore it. We can't ignore it.
Right.
You know, people talk about war.
Mm.
I got this guy, crazy as a bed bug. His name's Anthony. He works on, he's an electrician. Got long hair and a bandana. I mean, I'm thinking, you know. But he likes cats, so I know he's an idiot. But he had, I told people when I first got here, Elijah, all cats go to hell. But He's got these Maine Coon cats. I don't know if you ever looked them
up.
He's got four of them. I said, you're nuts. His name's Anthony. So I told him, I said, Brian, my project manager is going to Coronado. His son is graduating and he's going to be on SEAL Team 1.
Wow.
He said, Anthony says, I was on SEAL Team 6.
Whoa.
And I said, okay. And so I talk to him different now, because they're known as the boogeyman.
Yeah.
And
sometimes you never know who you're talking to.
No. Only that, really, in his opinion, I've talked to several other guys. The only people that are badder than the SEALs are the Army Rangers.
That's right.
And so anyhow, bad means good. I'm trying. But so, so anyhow, the
Marines in the Army, man.
Marine Corps, they serve food. So anyhow, I began to talk to him. He's going to sit down with me for lunch when when I began to ask him about it, he said, you know, I can't talk about a lot of stuff because it gets me. You know, because and before he went into the SEALs, before he became a SEAL, there were tragic things happening in his life that he wanted to move to a different life so he could move on. And you know, the stuff they do, I mean, it's just crazy, the stuff you don't hear about. But what I'm saying is, God hates sin. He doesn't hate the sinner. And it's hard for us to struggle. Now, we can talk and we can say pleasantries about a person. That doesn't mean we excuse sin. I mean, if a Christian is a dirt ball, they're a dirt ball. They need to get right. And we can't excuse somebody's sin. If a person is not right with God, we shouldn't talk about them being right with God. They need to be faced with it. Part of our responsibility as a Christian is to rebuke and exhort, and the wounds of a friend, you know what the Bible says in Proverbs. So we need to help.
Right.
It doesn't say we need to go out and talk about it, but we need to face them with it. And we need to face that reality. But we don't hate them.
Right.
You know? Somebody says something to us mean or something, doesn't mean we hate them. We shouldn't hate them. You know, it's hard not to.
Right.
Because we live in a great country that people are trying to destroy.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's hard not to, you know, and so God, we need God's help with that. Genesis 6:6, God grieves.
Grieves.
Anybody got that verse?
I need to repent to the Lord that ye have made man on earth.
Wow. Preach on that. That's heavy.
Yep.
As Elijah would say, that's deep. Deuteronomy 6:15. God is what? Jealous. He's a jealous God. And 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9, God can be angry. Don't want to be on that side of God. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, God cares and he pities. He cares and he pities. So the important thing is, the important thing I want you to get today, that I believe we need to get today, and we need to get it scripturally, is that God is one God.
Mm-hmm.
And use scripture. If somebody asks you the question about God, open your Bible. Or open your Bible app. Where does America get off track Where do people get off track in their lives? God. Mm-hmm. Starts out Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Amen. That's where it all started. If you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in God, you don't believe in creation, you don't believe in the Bible, you don't believe in the possibility of redemption. There are so many things. But if you do believe God, you believe in God, then it opens a whole new life, a whole new perception of life.
Amen.
You know, because I believe in God, there's always hope.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
Because I believe in God, I know I'm not alone.
That's Amen.
Good. Yeah, that's good.
Because I believe in God, I know God has there's a plan for my life. Because I know God, I know that I matter to Him. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter whether you matter to anybody else. You matter to God. Mm. You matter to God. If you get that right, it'll change. It changes your life. If you get a firm stand on God and all that goes with it, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I said to Tim at the beginning, where one goes, they all go.
Amen.
That's why I'm trying to understand enough to teach on the indwelling Holy Spirit. You know, people ask me all the time, well, what? It says the Holy Spirit, and it says the Spirit of God, and it says the Spirit of Christ. And all three of them are there.
That's right.
Amen.
They're all there. You've got all, God takes up residence within you.
Amen.
You know, we think, you know, things, this is the Holy Ghost is in me, you know, but God's up there and Jesus is up there. So who should I talk to? Well, they're everywhere present.
And the Holy Spirit doesn't have you.
The Holy Spirit. And so, what's that?
And the Holy Spirit doesn't have you running around the church acting stupid.
Well, yeah.
Park you in the church.
I saw that pastor back.
I don't know. We might start running around and shaking our hankies and stuff. But that's important. And what I mentioned at the beginning, Tim, is we use extra biblical words to describe biblical terms when the biblical terms are already there. So if we say the Trinity, we could also say God.
Yeah, exactly.
If you say God, then it's understood.
Yep.
And so if I as a Christian am standing on the Bible, I don't need to label different things. Like people say the rapture. Well, why don't it's called catch away.
Called up.
That's what it says.
Yep.
You know, and so it's very important that we have an understanding of God as much as we can understand. Mm-hmm. As much as I can understand God, I want to.
Amen.
And accept what you can.
And accept by faith what I can.
Amen.
That's good.
Because if I learn everything I can learn what the Bible says about God. And here's the thing that we need to connect, the dots we need to connect. We get doctrine. Okay, here's doctrine. We're studying doctrine, correct?
Amen.
Now, the exciting thing is to take that doctrine and see it at work in the Bible.
Amen.
See, and that's to see God at work. And then if we do that, then we can see God at work in our lives and in this world today. God, there are things that are happening in this world, things that happen in our church, things that happen in your life. Only God can. You can only explain that by saying God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, guys, you're dismissed.
Did you get the
Harbor? You talking about?